And we're back, Stripe Show Podcast, on a Monday. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. We have got a great show coming up for you. All things Tony Finau. I've been waiting for the next win for Tony Finau on the PGA Tour. I've got a lot of things that I want to share with Tony. I've been following Tony's career pretty much since he turned professional back in 2006. His longtime coach, Boyd Summerhays, a friend of mine, obviously a very good player back in his day. And it's been a fun journey watching that team, watching Tony progress into not only the man that he is, obviously the husband and the father of five kids, all of them traveling on the PGA Tour, but now the player that he has become. Speaking of Boyd Summerhays, he's going to be joining me on the Stripe Show podcast on Wednesday. I can't wait for that. Boyd, what a weekend for Boyd Summerhays. Tony Finau gets his sixth win on the PGA Tour, four wins now in the last 9 months. But also, Taylor Gooch is his student. And for those that follow LIV, Taylor Gooch has won the last two events. So the two biggest, I'm going to go ahead and say it, the two biggest professional golf tours, the PGA Tour and LIV, in that order. Tony Finau, Boyd Summerhays' student, and Taylor Gooch, Boyd Summerhays' student. They both won. What a weekend. Wow. Got a message from Boyd. He said he can jump on Wednesday, which will be fascinating because Boyd's been on the podcast before. And I had Boyd on a couple years ago, right after Tony struggled to put away a couple tournaments there. And it's been well documented. Look, you look at Tony Finau, we know the talent is through the roof. But as of late, you know, in coming into these last, let's say, 18 months, he has struggled putting away tournaments. Certainly the skill set to get in contention. We know he has the skill set to win tournaments. But for whatever reason, he was fumbling some of them away. The one at Waste Management is the one that sticks in my mind when Webb Simpson had the great final round on Sunday. And it was easy to look at it as, well, Webb came out and beat Tony. But the reality is Tony played the last five holes even par. And for those that know TPC Scottsdale, there's a lot of birdie opportunities coming in. So he kind of kicked that one away, the one at American Express in the playoff to Max Homa. He had to get it up and down right there on 10, and he didn't, and Max beat him. So he certainly has let some tournaments get away. But what we're seeing now is really a very different person. And I can't wait to talk to Boyd Summerhays about what is different right now with Tony Finau. We can certainly see it in the results now, four wins in the last 9 months. He's had the lead in three of those. The last three times are going in after 54 holes going into Sunday, and he's held on to win now in all three of those. And I got to tell you, this one here in Mexico, to put it away and hold off John Rahm, the number one player in the world, hands down, and to beat him by four shots, that's big time. I mean, Tony Finau has to be absolutely overwhelming with confidence. When you look at Finau, we're going to talk about some things here today about Finau. I want to start with kind of his journey here over the last couple years, some of the things that I see that are different. And again, we'll talk to Boyd on Wednesday, and I'm curious to get some insight from him, but I'm going to show you some swings here with Finau as well. It's been an interesting journey with Finau. Here's Finau, say, 4 or 5 years ago. He used to have a very long swing. Not long, I mean, parallel at the top, but certainly much longer than we see now. Watch this here with this driver. He gets all the way to parallel. For those tuning in right now, you're like, probably, whoa, was that Finau in Mexico? No, it wasn't. You know, in Mexico, Finau's more something like this, where the hands barely get up to the right shoulder. And so why did he shorten it? Going to talk about that. And for those listening, you know, you might be considering, well, maybe I should shorten my swing, right? Maybe I should shorten my swing and make it more three quarters and more compact, like I saw with Finau and Rahm. Whoa, 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 whoa. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. Let me give it some context, shed some light on who would be a candidate of shortening the swing. We're also going to look at Finau's waggle, which I love. Look up top there. The little waggle where he, that top left where he gets club head there, and then he kind of lifts it up a little bit in between the forearms. And then look at that top right. His body, notice, isn't turning. These are all kind of wrist angles. It's like a little mini version of his swing, and then the bottom is his actual swing. So we'll get into that as well a little bit, which I've got some great stuff there to consider and how it applies to your swing. But how did Finau get it done this week in Mexico? You look at his stats here. He was positive 5.2 off the tee, positive 6.1 strokes gain approach. The one thing that has improved over the last year is Tony Finau's approach game has become elite. He's right now currently strokes gain approach on the PGA Tour. He's number one. You look at his last, five events. I'm not quite sure where he was with the Masters, but he finished 26th in the Masters. You're looking at positive 6.1, positive 6.6, positive 4.3, positive 5.5. And that's a great run of strokes gain approach. His iron game has really excelled. His around the green game in Mexico, positive 3.5. And he found something with his putting. He talked about the work that he did with Boyd going into Mexico, and they found something and it paid off, nearly positive five there with the putter. Kind of uncharacteristic, right? Everything that Finau does with his game, from his driver, hands really low, his iron game, hands very low, now his putting, his hands very low, the toe sticking up. There's a player by the name of Asayo Aoki, a guy that used to putt like that with the toe sticking straight up in the air. I see some things a little different with his stroke. Again, we'll save that for Wednesday when we get Boyd on. But I think technically, I mean, you look at the statistics for Finau, let's say over the last 4 years. I'm going to share a few stats with you, and I'm going to lead that into what I think is the main difference with Finau. But you look at him statistically, just say over the last 4 years, strokes gained off the tee, you go back to like 2018, 2019, he was 23rd. I mean, he's always had, you know, great length, so much length that he can shorten it up significantly and still busted out there 315 yards. But he was 23rd, strokes gained off the tee back in 18, and that stayed pretty much the same throughout, 32nd, 36th, 15th back in 2021, 27th last year, or 27th this year, 15th last year, excuse me. So he's always been in that upper echelon, strokes gained off the tee. He takes advantage of that length. You look at the approach game, he's always really been, over the last 5 years, a very solid iron player. He goes 38th, 21st, 28th last year, 12th this year, first. So a nice jump, certainly, up to first off the tee. You know, the approach game, I think, always just been kind of like a click below that, 86th back in 18. Last year, he was 46th. This year, he's 60th. And then his putting, there's been some steady improvement there over the years. 2018, he was 125th. Then he went 69th, 91st. Last year, 85th. And right now, he is 25th. So there's been some growth with this putting. But even saying that, I never felt like Tony Finau was a dog over the last few years putting. He's always been in that upper third on the PGA Tour. When you look at Finau now, what is the difference? Yes, some incremental gain statistically. But the biggest thing really with Finau is situational golf. I mean, Finau is just so much more comfortable late on a Sunday. I'm sitting there and I'm watching that tournament and I text Boyd. I'm like, man, he just looks so poised, so under control. He looks like he's going to win the tournament rather than protecting not to lose the tournament. There were little things that happened on Sunday that I think a few years ago probably wouldn't happen. And every round of golf, especially late on a Sunday, there's little things that kind of hold the round together. And of course, when you're protecting a 3 or 4 shot lead, that's not easy to do. We've seen that. We've seen leads go away just like that. But you go to like to number 8 on Sunday, tough bunker shot. He hits it up there to the front. It's got about 20 feet. Wasn't a great bunker shot, but he steps up there and he pours it in. A timely par. Didn't let the door open at all for John Rahm. You fast forward to 14, another terrific bunker shot, 14, a par 5 that they can get there in 2. He kind of pushed his 3-iron into the bunker, not an easy bunker shot, carried it all the way to the hole with spin, in there to 3.5 feet, kicks it in for a birdie, didn't leave the door open there. You go to 16, another difficult bunker shot, carries it all the way up there to about 5 feet, little right to left, pours it right into the middle. There's just little shots throughout the round that Finau, okay, yes, maybe the technique a little bit different, but it just looked like he went up there and hit the shot with speed, right? Hit the shot with speed out of the bunker, carrying it to the flag stick, expecting to get it up there inside 5 feet. His putter, with the exception of just one putt, you go back to, I think it was 12, the par five. He had a good shot up there to about 5 feet. And he talks about keeping his speed up with his putting, you know, under the gun. And he left that one right in the middle and he left it short. And he was upset. And you think, oh, maybe the door can be open here. But he didn't let it swing open anymore. He put it to rest, kept the pedal down, and kept playing aggressive golf. Like he said in his postgame, Finau likes to be aggressive. It fits his nature. And now late on a Sunday, it just looks like he's going to keep going, right? Yes, you got to come get me. Yes, you're John Rahm, but I'm gonna keep going. Like, I'm just going to keep playing instinctive golf, keep playing Tony Finau golf, and you're going to have to do something extraordinary to come up and get me. So I just think situationally, little things that happen throughout a round, you look at him over the last three tournaments, he's not letting those things happen. He's a different guy. He's a different guy late on a Sunday, and it's awesome because I'm not sure there's a better ambassador for the PGA Tour and professional golf than Tony Finau. And when you really look at it, it probably does make a little bit of sense. I mean, Finau, you can kind of say, is a little bit of a late bloomer when it comes to professional golf. He's 34 years of age. Of course, he's from Utah. He won the Utah State Amateur back in 2000, and I think it was 2006, maybe somewhere in there. He didn't play college golf, turned pro relatively early, kind of, you know, scrapped around on some mini tours. It's been well documented that they didn't have a lot of money. His dad used to set up a bed mattress in their house so he could hit balls into. So he's not a guy that's got this huge surplus of money where he can travel around and play on all these tournaments. And so he kind of had to make ends meet, play where he could. Then he gets out there on tour. He gets his win on the Korn Ferry Tour back in 2014. He gets to the PGA Tour. He wins in Puerto Rico in 15, and then a little bit of a slump there of wins, where I think he probably just kind of tries to find his way. You compare that to some of these, you know, powerhouse young players coming out, like a John Rahm. It's been well documented. He was a terrific player in his youth in Spain, traveled around and playing on all these junior teams, comes over full ride, Arizona State, record 11 wins in college at Arizona State, onto the PGA Tour, 11 wins now on the PGA Tour, 10 European Tour wins, two major championships. Things are kind of clipping off, you know, as you expect, perhaps, for a John Rahm at the age that he's at. Finau, a little different journey. Didn't have all those young reps, perhaps, when he was younger. Didn't learn how to win that much when he was younger. And things have come to him a little bit later in life. And I think we're seeing now Tony Finau fully comfortable, plenty of reps, plenty of ups, plenty of downs, and now he's comfortable on Sunday. He knows he has the skill sets. He's going to keep the pedal down. And I think it's going to be fascinating between Rahm, between Finau. You put Scottie Scheffler in there. I pulled up here real quick here before we look at a swing. I pulled up a little comparison here over the last 3 years statistically between Rahm and Finau, a sample size of about 200 rounds. And on the PGA Tour, like, you strokes gained putting, Rahm 17th, Finau 59th. So Rahm's been that more consistent putter, certainly over the period of times, although now you've seen the growth with Finau to where he is to this point. Around the greens, Finau's been better. Of course, Rahm really struggled last year. I think Finau doesn't get enough credit for a short game. I really don't. I mean, he had some terrific bunker shots. He had that nice little pitch off that tight lie in the front that he carried up there. The way he hit that shot, the conviction that he hit that shot with the speed, I think tells a lot about where he is mentally. Strokes and approach, Finau's been better. He's been fourth on the PGA Tour, Rahm 11th. Off the tee, Rahm's been the most dominant driver over the last 3 years. He's won, Finau's 14th right there behind him. Strokes gained tee to green, Rahm's one, Finau's two. You know, so look, I think, you know, Rahm has the better background, right? Rahm has the better resume to this point. But skill set wise, where I'm seeing Tony Finau, the elite iron game, we know he can do it with the driver in the length off the tee. And now this upper tier of putting, I like Finau to win a major championship here soon. Why not the PGA coming up? It's the next step for him. How good can Finau be? Now, we talked about it with Spieth and JT when they came out. Spieth took off, and then he kind of stumbled, and now JT took off, and he's caught up, right? I don't think it's far-fetched to think that Finau could catch up to a player like Rahm. I mean, Rahm's got 11 wins. Finau's got 6. Rahm's got 2 majors. I think a major's around the corner for Finau. He's entering his prime right now at the age of 33. He's entering his prime. All the stars are lined up. I'm excited to see what Tony Finau is going to do. All right, let's move into a swing here for a second. You know, I like to spar a little bit with some of my folks on Twitter and some of my folks on Instagram. And I've always made the statement that after 22 years of teaching, people coming into the studio here, you can see the About Golf simulator in the backdrop. I know that I lengthen more swings out than I shorten up. Now, this is Finau, you know, say 4 or 5 years ago, right? I mean, this swing is so butter. And if Finau reaches back and he want to really unleash the dragon, he would be the longest on the PGA Tour. He would be longer than Rory. But, you know, Finau, I think, had some trouble with the driver, spraying it. And so him and his coach, Boyd Summerhays, set out to shorten that up. And you look at Tony Finau, this is an iron, but even with the driver, I mean, you're seeing a swing where the hands barely get up to the right shoulder. It's very much a three-quarter swing. Now, the reason that he did that was strictly for control. He did it for control. They found that he could hit his iron much more in play. He likes to hit that little bullet fade off the tee. He'll work his irons a little bit more. He certainly can trap it and draw it a little bit more with the irons. But for the most part, I think the reason they shortened it was for that driver to keep it more in play. Now, what you have to understand is that when you shorten the swing, you know, when will a player shorten a swing? I think number one in this case, and you'll see this at the highest level, is players will shorten a swing a little bit when they have speed that they can give up, right? Because we know, look, the longer you take it back, the more time that you put into the swing to deliver force on it, the longer you're going to hit it, right? All things being equal. So if Tony took it back longer, yes, he would hit it longer. And when he reaches back, he does hit it longer. He has that gear. But he feels comfortable right here for control. Now, Tony swings it at an incredible speed. Even at a short distance, he can apply force in a big way to get it back on the ball with a lot of speed and compress it. So the first scenario I would say for those listening, when does it make sense to shorten up your swing? Well, for control. But as you gain control, are you comfortable with the speed that you have? Are you able to give up a little bit of speed and still play the tee blocks that you want to play and still play at the level that you want to play at? For the answer with Finau, the question was yes, right? The question was yes. Now, one of the things that Finau had working for him is at a young age, his swing was lengthened out. He'd learned how to hit it long. And I think in today's instruction, I think it's good advice for those parents listening with kids. Look, I think you got to be very careful when you start shortening up kids. You know, keep them lengthened out as much as you can. Let them develop speed at a young age. And as they go through life, like Tony, that length served him well, even though it was probably a little more erratic than he wanted. But he got to the point where it made sense to shorten it up because he had plenty of speed to work with. And that was made possible because of the speed that he created at a young age. So do you have enough speed in there that if you shorten it up, that you can still play at the level that you want to? I think the second reason I would shorten someone up, and I see this a lot with mid-handicaps. I'm going to take Finau off just for a second here. I see this a lot with mid-handicaps where when they take it back, you will see their spine start to lean excessively towards the target. We call that a reverse spine angle. And so you turn, the spine goes excessively towards the target. And of course, where are my arms going to go? We're going to go with it towards the target. So my arm swing gets long, and you usually will see some radial deviation with that left wrist too. Like that wrist, you'll see them kind of really go this way. When you take the left wrist into more extension, I'm putting my left wrist up into extension, you can get more wrist cock vertically too. And so you'll see even through the wrists that club will start to lengthen up a little bit. Sometimes you just in the spine and the arm swing alone, that's just going to get it long. So you got to fix that. All right. You got to get in there and you got to fix that spine where now the spine's not leaning to the left as much. It feels like it's a little more to the right. The hands and arms feel like they're pushed away from the target more to the right. And the wrist probably can feel a little bit more passive too. The left wrist, not as much radial deviation, left wrist and extension, but perhaps a little more the other way where the left wrist feels more flexed. And even the left wrist feels a little bit more ulnar, right? Kind of away like that. More on that in a minute with Pheno. But the idea is that the spine's not leaning towards the target. Spine's away from the target. The arms are away from the target. The club head's away from the target. These wrist angles. So I think that's a time to shorten things up. That player will feel much shorter to the top. Much shorter to the top because of what the spine was doing, the arms following that, and even some of the wrist angles. It's possible that you can have a little bit of a combination of those three where sometimes you'll see where like a player will make a good turn, but their arms will just kind of run off and they'll get that wrist angle. So in that point, you might shorten up their arm swing a little bit. You might re-educate their hands a little bit. But I think that's another example with the spine, the arms, and the wrists in a time that you're going to shorten someone up. I think the other example, oftentimes you'll have athletes coming into this game. You'll have people that can create speed, usually where like a baseball player, a hockey player, they'll come in and they just like there's a lot of movement, right? Like you'll see them take it back and their shoulders and their hips, a lot of movement. Oftentimes it looks like they're moving off the ball. You know, they're kind of moving off the ball and up, right? And the swing just looks long. It looks wild. And you can see that with your own eyes. So at that point, you got to start taking some things away, right? You've got to start, look, let's maybe keep the lower body a little more stable. Let's just, you know, feel like we're turning the upper. Let's give the arm some structure. And so you got to start giving them some context because there's just too many moving parts and it's wild. So there's times where, look, you've got to shorten them up and take some things away as well. But usually in the journey of golf, when you play and you look at someone who's had some reps in this game, one of the standard things that happens is as we get older and life happens, we have kids, we have work, we have all these things. You know, the tendency is we start to kind of go inward, right? We start losing movement. And so the reason I say to people, I lengthen more people out than I shorten up is because it's the truth. Because as we start losing range of motion and movement, I'm trying to put it back in. And as I try to put it back in, whether it's through the hips or the spine or the shoulders or the arms, the whatever it is, I'm trying to put it back in and I'm trying to lengthen them out a little. I'm trying to stretch that rubber band a little bit more. You know, they feel like they're taking a bigger backswing. And oftentimes on the surface, when you say that and they're taking a bigger backswing, that would suggest less control. And it really isn't the case. It actually gives them more control because it gives them the left shoulder now makes it behind the ball. They start creating a little more lead arm depth around them. So now it's made possible that they can bring it back down from the inside. So it's kind of a tricky subject. On the surface, it makes more sense to say, look, swing shorter for more control, be more compact. Yeah, I mean, I think it sounds sexy. There's examples of that, especially this weekend in Finau and Rahm. Rahm can't really lengthen it out even more. I think if you give him the option without the club foot, he'd say, yeah, sign me up. I'd love to take it back further. Finau is a rare, super high-end athlete. Shorten him up a little bit, a little more compact, got plenty of speed to work with, and he's got plenty of shaft length. So you got to be careful, right? I would say, generally speaking, amateur golfers who have had many years of playing golf, getting older, kids, don't play as much, I lengthen you out more than I shorten you up. Gives you more distance, but in the end, for those, it gives them more accuracy as well. So hopefully that helps from a shortening up standpoint. Let's take a look at the swinger. Tony Finau, my man. I just did a full breakdown of this. I'm going to post on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Did I miss anything? LinkedIn, YouTube, you know, how we all get our information out there, right? Like 75 different platforms. So here's Finau. This was back in American Express earlier this year. It's a nice little three-quarter. I think that was like a 7-iron. Probably flew it like 195 yards, 200 yards or something. But yeah, it just looks simple, doesn't it? And he's got this little, he's got like this little figure eight move, right? Where he just kind of goes up and then you can see it almost kind of unhinge on the downswing and work behind him. And I made this post yesterday. And up top, what you see here, I'm going to finish with this because I think this is really interesting stuff. You look up top there, that's his waggle. Okay, that's his waggle. The bottom is his real swing. So you'll notice up top, his body's not moving at all, right? It's just his arms and hands. So the top left, what you see is you see the left wrist take on a little bit of wrist hinge, a little bit of wrist cock there, a little bit of vertical. And I'm sorry, folks, the swing your swing, folks, and the backswing doesn't matter, folks. Tony Finau works on his backswing. Yes, he shortens it up, but he also works on the shape. Anyway, left wrist, little wrist cock, club head, you can see there, right in line with the hands, right on the toe line. I think he'd be happy with that. He tends to get it a little behind him at times. I think when he would swing fuller, bigger, I think club head would probably dip in even a little bit more. So I think that the shorter nature of his swing, I think he can manage this swing shape a little bit better. But top left, club head in line with the hands there, the toe line working up a little bit. Then you can see in the middle, top middle, he kind of elevates it up in between the forms. See the shaft there kind of in between the forms. And then top right, he shallows it. And look where the club head is. It's way behind his hands. So it's like this little up move, a little up and out maybe a little initially, and then back underneath. And he's doing that without his pivot. That's the key. He's doing that, I think, I'm pretty sure this is the case, and I'll confirm with Boyd on Wednesday. But he's doing that just with his wrist angles. All right, just with his wrist angles. So take your lead wrist, put it out in front of you. Okay, take your lead wrist. Hold on a second here. Let's bring that back in. Where'd it go? There it is. Take your lead wrist, put it back out in front of you, and just kind of make it level like this, right? Like your fingers are going straight across here to the horizon, just straight across your eye line here. Okay. Now you can take your wrist. Let me move this over here so we can all see this. You can take your wrist and go up and down. If your left wrist is flat, you don't have a lot of up and down motion. And this is what I was saying earlier when you lengthen out. Watch. If I go into extension this way, which is cupping the wrist, that's a horizontal movement. Now I can go into more radial. I can cock my wrist more. So with extension, I can go more up and down, particularly up, right? And that's going to really lengthen the club out. So if you make that left wrist flat, you have a little more limited motion there. So that left wrist is pretty flat. And you'll notice with Finau at address, he leans that shaft a fair amount forward. Okay, so with that shaft a fair amount forward, that left wrist is flat, which gives him a little limited, okay, what we call radial. Like he can't go up as much. And I think that's on purpose because he doesn't want all that extension. So you can see a left wrist is there. Then he kind of lifts it up a little bit. The left arm kind of elevates a little bit, gets the shaft kind of up out in front of him. And then from there, he reroutes it back underneath. And he's doing that, you'll notice, with kind of the left forearm rotating to the right. And then that left wrist, very important here, the left wrist feeling like it's going down into ulnar. Okay, so this way, down, like you're taking your left thumb and pushing down. So there's like limited up with the left arm raising, and then he kind of rotates the left forearm where it feels like the back of the left hand's to the sky, and then the left wrist is going down into ulnar this way, unhinging the wrist. That's what he's feeling with his wrist angles that's creating that little swing shape, that little figure eight swing shape. Now, he adds the pivot to it on the bottom, right? Look at that bottom left, club head out in front. Adds the turn, what turn there is in the shoulders. Hands get up to the right shoulder, You can see that shaft is very vertical. And then look at the bottom right. Now the shaft shallows out. And I promise you, with the short nature of this swing, that left wrist feeling like it's in ulnar is a key piece of the puzzle. Because with this short of the swing, he does not want to get that left wrist super extended and pulling down with that left wrist. He's going to carry that shaft lean in way too much, and that's going to make it difficult for him to then swivel and square that face. Because the most fascinating thing about Finau swing to me is that the face is open during all of this. I mean, that's really the most fascinating thing about all of this. Is he's doing this with his wrist angles. And you look at that top right, like that toe's pointing behind him for crying out loud. Right? Now, when you go on the bottom right, not as much. But the face, in theory, is open. And when it's open in this three-quarter shorter nature of swing, that left wrist condition, okay, and feeling that ulnar, feeling that left thumb pushing down, right? Feeling the top of the wrist unhinging, the back of the left hand flexed versus the other way I mentioned, right? Which is extending the wrist in a lot of radial. That left wrist condition that he's doing there and that he rehearsed in his waggle is super important because it's gonna minimize that shaft lean. It's gonna help facilitate that face to swivel and turn down and get things matched up really well through the zone. And let me tell you something, folks. Tony Finau through the impact zone, and you'll see this in the analysis that I'll post on my. It is sick how good it is. And then you consider everything that I just talked about, right? In the context that I just gave you, in the three-quarter nature of the swing. And those wrist angles, and then to be able to do all that and match it up so well through the zone just speaks to the incredible athlete this guy is. I mean, it really does. And to do it at the speeds that he still currently does it at. So hopefully that made sense. I think it's a fascinating thing. I think it's something that we can learn from. I mean, look, I think this swing shape, to bring this back in, is the shape that most amateurs can learn from. It's the shape that you see 90% of the time on TV, right? Are there guys that take it back inside, shafts a little shallower, they steep it coming down? Sure, we've talked about some of those people. But for the majority, like it's going back a little more vertical than it's coming down. And so these wrist angles, this swing shape, this waggle, I think all of these things are things that you can learn from. Now, I'll be honest. I think shortening up your swing is something that you have to be a little more careful with. And hopefully some of the context that I gave you in today's podcast will help you with that. So all things Tony Finau today. It's cool to see him really turn into the player that he is. Ladies and gentlemen, Tony Finau can putt. Okay, so stop with Tony Finau can't putt. Tony Finau can putt. He's been able to putt for a long time, incrementally becoming a better putter. Tony Finau is a wonderful ball striker, incrementally becoming better around the greens. The difference that you're seeing with Tony Finau now is situational golf. Tony Finau is more comfortable situationally when the heat is on, right? Like I always look at it two ways. You got to look at it as a player. What do they do in the first three rounds or maybe first three and a half rounds? And then what do they do when it's time to win a golf tournament? The last nine holes. What does an athlete do in basketball and football in the first three quarters? And then what do they do late in the fourth quarter when it's time to win the game? You look at you look at any sport. Right there's what's happening up to that moment, and then there's what's happening from that key moment on. Do you have any dog in you? Do you have dog in you? Are you going to go try to win the tournament, or are you going to go try not to lose the tournament? Big difference. You can see it. There's endless examples on both sides, and particularly on those that come up small when the heat is on. Tony Finau, what you're seeing right now, he's starting to get a little dog in him. Like down the stretch, it's no longer Mr. Nice Guy. It's like, You're gonna have to come get me, boys. Because my skill set, Tony Finau's skill set, what I just compared to John Rahm, it's right there. It's right there. I'm fascinated to watch Finau as he enters his prime. John Rahm entering his prime, Scottie Scheffler entering his prime. I don't think Finau is that far behind these boys. I really don't. All right, hope you enjoyed the show. We will be back tomorrow with Keith Stewart at Read the Line. New handicapper, very excited to introduce to the podcast. And then on Wednesday, you won't want to miss it, Boyd Summerhays, the longtime coach of Tony Finau and Taylor Gooch. I hope Boyd is taking the day off. You have earned it, my man. Look forward to catching up with you on Wednesday. Thank you for being here, Stripe Show Podcast. I'm Travis Fulton. See you tomorrow.